the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Well, this probably feels like a really strange Easter to you. It certainly does to me, because normally I'm in a church which is full of people, and today I'm here in my living room, and it just feels really unusual. But when I stopped to think about it, I suddenly thought, actually, the Easter story was always a strange story. So maybe the fact that we're experiencing it today in very unusual conditions is actually not at all inappropriate. It might be helpful, actually, in enabling us to engage with it in a new way. Tian earlier in the service read from the start of Luke chapter 24, and there was so much weird stuff in there, wasn't there? There was the group of women who left their house at the crack of dawn with spices because they were going to go and anoint a dead body. We had that massive stone which was mysteriously rolled away from in front of the tomb. We had those two men whose clothes were shining bright like lightning, saying to the women that the person whose body they had come to anoint had actually risen from the dead and wasn't there anymore. And we've got the terror of the women and the confusion of the disciples when they go back to tell them. It really was a pretty strange, weird Easter Sunday when the very first Easter took place. We are actually going to be looking this morning not at the events of Easter morning, but of Easter Sunday evening. So if you've got a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to John chapter 20. If you're on your phone app, then just scroll through to John chapter 20. Normally at this point in sermons, I say, and if you've got the church Bible, it's page so-and-so. I'll let you into a little secret. I actually do have a copy of the church Bible. I promise I'm going to give it back, but it's here for the time being. So it's somewhere around page 1029. And we're just going to be looking at verses 19 through to 23. Before we just do that, let me pray as we open God's word together. Lord, thank you for the fact that we can hold your word in our hands. Thank you that you have caused it to be preserved down the centuries. And thank you that it speaks to us in a way that no other book ever can, because this is inspired by you. Lord, please take the words that you originally inspired and apply them through your Holy Spirit to our lives and our hearts today. Please enable us to hear what it is that you want to say to us this Easter Sunday morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of that first day of the week, so this is Easter Sunday, the very first Easter Sunday, but in the evening, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear, dot, dot, dot. I'm going to pause it there for a second, because I hope you can see that even though in some ways, obviously, this is a completely different situation, there are some similarities for us today. We've got the disciples meeting together. We can't do that. Sadly, we're feeling the loss of that, I'm sure. But they are meeting behind locked doors. It sounds a little bit like the lockdown that we are experiencing at the moment. And they're meeting in a state of fear. And I suspect that many of us are feeling fearful today. They, of course, were fearful because they knew that they could easily be physically persecuted because of their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the case for brothers and sisters around the world today. It's not the case, clearly, here in the UK, but we can still obviously be very fearful. And I know for a fact that there are members of our congregation who have already lost people, loved ones, in the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are other folk in the congregation who've got loved ones who are in hospital at the moment. Many of us will be fearful for the health of people we love, perhaps for ourselves if we're vulnerable, fearful for the knock-on effects economically and politically and socially here and around the world. And in that situation of fear and of lockdown, what happens? Well, look at the second half of verse 19. They were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus comes in the middle of our fear and our anxiety and where we are in our closed spaces. And he comes to us and he says, "Peace be with you." I don't know about you, but I really feel like I need the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. Already Jesus had promised his disciples, this is just a few chapters earlier, John chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Jesus says it, but it's so easy for us, isn't it, to allow anxious thoughts to take a hold once more. And no doubt that's why in this very chapter, John chapter 20, Jesus says, "Peace be with you," on three occasions. We've seen it once in verse 19 here. He'll say it again in verse 21. He says it for a third time in verse 26. We need Jesus to keep on speaking his peace to us. And I don't think he's going to mind if we keep on coming to him to ask for that peace. It seems here like he's expecting that he's going to have to speak peace pretty often to his disciples. So this morning, let's ask the Lord to speak his peace into our lives. We need it at the moment, don't we? So he does that. He speaks peace into their situation. And then verse 20, after he said this, he showed them his hands, obviously where the nails had been when he'd been crucified on Good Friday, and his side where the spear had been thrust in by the Roman soldier as he'd hung on the cross. And the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. That is so often the case, isn't it? It takes something to enable us to see Jesus for who he truly is. And when we have that moment of recognition, we have that joy, that certainty that he has defeated death and that we, as his followers, need not fear death any longer. It's a wonderful moment when somebody comes to that glorious moment of recognition as to who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is. And this morning, for many of us who are watching this, we will be convinced of that. And so like the disciples here on Easter Sunday of all Sundays, we should be joyful people rejoicing in what the Lord has accomplished for us. But I'm also mindful that there might be quite a few people who are watching today who aren't convinced about the fact that Jesus truly has risen from the dead. And if that's you today, you are so welcome to be joining us in this online service. It's lovely to have you. I hope one day that I'll have the privilege of meeting you in person. But here's the thing. If you are not yet convinced about the Lord Jesus Christ, and if perhaps you have a little bit more time on your hands than you would normally have, I would really encourage you to use this time to explore the claims of Christianity about who Jesus is and what he came to do for us. On the last Sunday that I preached in church, it was the very last Sunday before the lockdown, actually, we had a baptism in the church, and a young man named Tom spoke about how he had moved from a position of atheism to a position of trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And alongside actual people around him who really helped him on his journey, he said that there was a book that he'd read by a guy called Lee Strobel called The Case for Christ, which he had found really, really helpful. And I'd love to recommend that same book to you. There's also been a film made of it. Not all Christian movies are very good, but this one is pretty good. So you can enjoy the film. You can also read the book. And there are lots of other resources that are available to you to explore the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact of his resurrection. And we would love to help you with that here at Belmont. So If you need any help, please get in touch with us. We will have resources that are going to be made available on our website or links via the Facebook page. And we'll keep you up to date with what we're doing to enable you, if you're not sure yet, to find resources that might be useful for you. And we'd love to speak with you about it and chat with you as well, if we can have that opportunity online in some way, or when we get back together again face to face in person. That would be wonderful. There we are. We've got this idea of the evidence for Christ giving these disciples this incredible joy. And then verse 21, back to our text, John chapter 20, Jesus says once again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I find that a really interesting verse, because it's clear that the peace that Jesus brings is not something that is just going to enable us to lead a really quiet, calm, peaceful life. That is not the point of the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes that is what we need, don't get me wrong, and that can be massively helpful. But actually, Jesus gives his peace as a prerequisite for, or as preparation for, the mission that he has for us. Did you notice that? Verse 21 again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." What an amazing thought that the mission that was the mission of Jesus Christ himself, God the Son, sent by God the Father, is exactly the same mission that we are called by Jesus to take part in. And for some of you at the moment, actually, you will be literally being sent out into this very distressed and troubled world that we live in at the moment. And if that is you, I just want to say a huge thank you, first of all, to anybody who is going out there, because you're a key worker. We often talk about the health service, absolutely right that we should do that. But I know that there are many other key workers as well, in shops and in transportation, and in council services and all kinds of things. And of course, now we also have this army of new volunteers who are out there helping the most vulnerable to access the things that they need. So bless you if you are being sent out at the moment to serve in our schools and our hospitals and around the city of Exeter. What a blessing you are. And we really thank you for being sent in that way. But for many of us, it would actually be quite foolish to be going out. We're being told at the moment to stay put. And our sending is going to be a different kind of sending. For us, the sending is going to be that staying in touch with people, those encouragements, those emails, those phone calls, those texts, those Zoom meetings, just to make sure that we are feeling connected and loved and supported. And if you're able to do that, I would really encourage you to see that as a vital part of your mission in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're one of his followers. Let's be the people who are making the best possible use of this time. But we know that at some point this time will come to an end. And I just wonder, when that happens, what will be the implications for our life together as a church? Will we go back to doing just what we've always done? Maybe we will, and maybe that's exactly what God has in store for us. Or maybe there might be some new things which emerge out of the current situation that God is asking us to refocus our attention and our efforts in that particular area. Please do pray for us who are in leadership roles within this church or other churches, that we might discern what the Lord is saying to us as the body of Christ through this time, not just for this time, but also for beyond this time, and ask him to help us discern where he would have us focus our life and our mission as Christians together. That would be wonderful. Thank you. So we've had peace. We've had the proof of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've had the purpose that he gives us in his mission. And now, verse 22, we see the power that he brings to us. With that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now that is a wonderful, wonderful picture. And it reminds me so clearly of what God did in the Garden of Eden when he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam and made him a living being. Jesus here breathes the Holy Spirit into the lives of his disciples. And we need to keep on coming to the Lord that he might fill us up with his Holy Spirit to equip us for that mission that he sends us on. But I don't want to say too much more about that, because actually the next time that I'm going to have the privilege of preaching, God willing, is going to be on Sunday the 31st of May, when it's Pentecost Sunday. And so I want to say more about the Holy Spirit on that occasion. Maybe it'll be in Belmont, maybe it'll be online again, but I'm really looking forward to 50 days' time. And now, the final verse, let's finish with this final verse from John chapter 20, verse 23. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, that, I think, is one of the strangest things that we read on the Easter day. I said it was a strange story to begin with, but that verse is a particularly strange verse, isn't it? And you're probably thinking, what? The power to forgive or not forgive people's sins? Really? Yes, Jesus is peace, fantastic. Yes, the gift of the Holy Spirit, wonderful. But really? To forgive other people's sins or not to forgive them? Is that what Jesus is talking about? And I would say, actually, despite the sort of initial appearances, that isn't what the Lord is getting at here. I don't think anywhere we are encouraged to think in Scripture that we are given personally the power to forgive or to retain sins. The Bible is actually very clear that God alone is the only one who has the power to forgive sins. I don't know if you remember that story earlier on in the Gospels, when the paralyzed man is taken by his friends to Jesus, and they dig a hole through the roof and they lower him down on cords on a sort of a stretcher. And Jesus, seeing their faith, says to the man, the paralyzed man lying on the stretcher, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And the teachers of the law who are sitting around when he's doing this healing, because he's been preaching as well, they're outraged, because they know that only God has the power to forgive sins. But of course, that's the whole point of the story, because Jesus is God with us. He is Emmanuel. He is God in a body. And that is a power and a responsibility that remains with God alone. And after Jesus ascends to be with his Father throughout the whole of the rest of the New Testament, I can't think of any example where we actually see the disciples forgiving or retaining other people's sins on their own authority. I can't think of an example of that. And that's quite strange if that is actually what Jesus is saying here in John 20, verse 23. But I don't think that is what he's saying, so I don't find it strange. What we see instead is, and this is an example you'll see on the screen now from Acts chapter 13, Paul makes it clear that it's the apostles who proclaim the forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who does the forgiving, but the apostles' job is to proclaim that forgiveness through Jesus. And that's why, coming back to John 20, 23, I think that this paraphrase that I'm going to show you now from the Passion Translation is actually justified in how it phrases things. It puts it like this: "I send you to preach the forgiveness of sins, and people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. I think that's a really helpful paraphrase to bring out what I think is the meaning of what Jesus says based on the whole of the New Testament's teaching. And in fact, we see something very similar to that in the account that Luke gives of this evening, this Easter Sunday evening encounter between Jesus and his disciples on that very first Easter Sunday. Because there, Jesus speaks about the importance of preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Very similar idea to the one we've just seen in that paraphrase of John 20, 23. That was going to be the main job of Jesus' apostles, to preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And it's got to be something that remains central to our life together as a church as well. If you're somebody who already knows the reality of repentance and forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ, then please rejoice this morning, because Easter Sunday of all days is a wonderful time to proclaim the reality of that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. At a time when every time that we turn on our news, our televisions, or open a news feed on our phone, we see rising death tolls, let's remember that in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, death truly has lost its ultimate sting. Let's remember, as Paul says, that we need to give thanks to God because he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And praise him for that. But if you don't know the reality of that for yourself at the moment, then as I said earlier, we would love to spend time talking with you about that. See what it is that's preventing you from coming to the Lord and knowing him for yourself. So please don't hesitate to get in touch. We'd love to help you with that if we possibly can. But let me finish now by just praying as we think about those few verses from John 20 and how we might, just pray them into our lives for the week ahead. So Father God, thank you so much for this time we've been able to spend together. Thank you, Jesus, that you come into our place of fear and anxiety and you proclaim your peace over it. Lord, we pray that this morning and in the weeks and months ahead, you'll help us to keep on coming back to you for more of your peace. Help us, Lord, to look carefully at the evidence that you truly have been raised to life, and take this time, perhaps if we haven't yet committed to knowing you, to investigate the evidence that there is for the fact that you are alive and reigning with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God in heaven. Help us, Lord, to identify, to discern what your purpose and your mission for us is. And then please keep on giving us the power that we need through your Holy Spirit in order to fulfill that mission. And finally, help us to proclaim the gospel of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Thank you that we can be assured that you have conquered death and that you have brought death, that you have brought life and glorious resurrection to light in the gospel. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. It's been absolutely wonderful to have your company. We are going to end our service with some sung worship. And then afterwards, there is going to be an opportunity to pray together if you'd like to do that using a Zoom prayer meeting. We will have the links up on the Facebook page already, I'm sure. And maybe somebody who's dealing with comments at the moment might be able to pop that up in the chat box. But let me finish by wishing you a very, very happy Easter in the love of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.